Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping she's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. The power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty. Yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are?
I'm Brother Ariel with From a Hebrew Point of View. Tonight, before we get started, I want to talk about Israel in the Park that will be coming up. This will be our third installment of Israel in the Park. Hallelujah. All praises to the Father. And it is on May 24th here in Baltimore, Maryland. We back at Israel Park last year. We was at Rosedale Park. The first year we was in Druill Park. But this year we're back at Druill Park, and I'll have all the details for you frankly by next week. The flyer and everything will be made up. So Israel in the Park is back again. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel just come together and we fellowship. We show the world how as a unit we can look in this world. We come together, we have games for the kids, we have singing, we have fellowship. But at a later date, we will have our brother Yaakir El on, Yah willing, and he have a different plan for it this year, and prayerfully, he can come on and explain that different plan that he had for the Yahweh gave him another direction. So we want to talk about that at a later date. Pray for you all will be there. And tonight, we're going to talk about being a believer. And not just being a believer. Being a believer in Yahushua and what that entails and what he do for us. Because you're talking about a people who are coming to know who they are, but not truly understanding who they are. When they come to know, understand what I'm saying, that they are Israelites, but they don't even know themselves. And as not knowing ourselves, we're coming a part of something that is bigger and that is more complicated than any life that we ever had before. And we're not understanding that. So I'm going to read these scriptures. I'm going to start off in Matthew 11. This is Yahushua. And this is what he said. We're going to take our time with this tonight. It's not going to be a long one, but just want us to understand some things. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the master Yahushua saying it. Come unto me, all you are laden, heavy burden, who is just hard of living the way you live. Come unto him. Give your life unto him. And he will give you rest. What does that truly mean? As a believer walking this way for 14 years, or as somebody who wants to come this way, who heard about this Israelite way of life and taught living the way they are living, what does the scripture actually truly mean? Does it truly mean that this life that I'm living, I won't have to pay rent no more? I won't have to worry about this bill, that bill? I won't have to get up and go to work no more? Does that mean that when he said, I will give you rest, that there will be no more heartache in my life? That me and my wife, me and my husband, we will always get along, me and my kids will never be bad again? I don't mean that. It don't mean that at all. What it gives you is an understanding. It gives you all this may be going on in my life, but because I have Yahushua in my life, it is okay. I can bear it. My mind will be all right. I won't lose my mind. Why? Because I have a confidence in Yahushua. But the second scripture, I'm going to read 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. On the 30, just finish it out. Take my yoke upon you. What does the Messiah mean by that? What did Yahushua mean by take my yoke upon me, upon you? But the key word in this next scripture, in scripture 29, is, and learn of me. Meaning when you're going through hardships and trials and tribulations, because what he said, what does the scripture say about the Messiah? Much tribulation, much trials have he learned to be obedient. Through much trials and much tribulations, he learned to be obedient to the Father. But looking out at the world and looking out at these new believers coming in, and me myself, when I was first coming in, understanding a little bit more of when Brother Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Not meaning in this sense that I'm physically a child. But when I first come into the Word, I am a babe. When he also said, you can't just give us meat of the Word. I can't get the meat. So I got to get the milk of the Word first. And you find that a lot of believers coming in trying to eat meat, trying to chomp down on the deep things and get into the Word and get into debates. But that's upon all of us. I mean, we all had that fire. You first came in and you learned that Islam was false and Christianity was false, especially Christianity, because I'm quite sure a lot of us grew up in a Christian house or around Christians. And you found this newfound thing, oh, I'm really going to tear them up. I can't wait for them, one of them to say something to you. You're young in the Word. And you just got this powerful weapon in your hand and you don't know how to use it. So Messiah said, come and learn of me first. How is it that this person or these people who come into this way of life do not understand the role of the Messiah, do not understand his life? We're going to take that up, and we're going to carry it, and we're going to walk with it and say, this is the life that I want. Way before we learned of the Messiah. Way before we learned of this lifestyle. Even before we know ourselves. truly know ourselves and understand who am I and what do I want out of life. So we already messed up in the mind, especially the people of color, the people that was brought over here, the natural born Israelites, and those shits that have been slaves for the last 400 years, physically and mentally, more mentally these days. We are mentally challenged as a people, truly mentally challenged. You can't go through what we've been through and not be mentally challenged. Something is wrong with us. When I realized that the other day when I was thinking about this, I had to apologize to my kids because all along I'm teaching them that they got to be 2 times better than the white man. Why? Because this is, quote-unquote, white man's world, and you got to be better than them in everything. If you get a 85 and she gets your counterpart or the white person get an 80, she gonna get that job. So you got to be better than them. You got to have a 95. You got to excel way higher than them. But I had to apologize to them. Because first and foremost, all I have to teach them is Yah's word. That's it. We don't have to tell our kids we got to be better than them. Why? For what? As long as we doing what Yahushua has us to do and keeping that Torah, Yahweh gonna have what he gonna have for us, and no man, no person on this earth can stop that. So you don't have to be better than nobody else. You don't have to be. You already have an advantage of everybody else. And that's not my word, that's in Romans. If you go to Romans, he asks the question, what is the advantage of being a Yahudi? Or what is it? What is profit there in circumcision? He said, chiefly in every way, there is an advantage. But this is mainly to have the oracles, the word of Yah, was given to them. So already we have an advantage. But as we talked earlier, me and the brother, we talked a little earlier, we also, as a Stockholm Syndrome people too, we have pity our oppressors. Yahweh told us in his word, if we not our oppressor and learn none of their ways, we didn't, that scripture right there, been threw out the door. Truly been threw out the door. Why? How can I say that? Because we learned all our oppressor ways. We are our oppressors. Until you get that right relationship with the Father, that's when you come and you are shed your oppressor ways off you. But we learned all his ways. No fault of our own. It's been passed down from generation to generation. Yahweh said that it was going to happen to us. So we can't be that. We're not going to beat ourselves up for that. But what we will do is come out of her, my people, like he told us in Revelation 18:4. He told Israel to come out of her. And who is the her? The false way of life. And what way is that? Every way, every single way outside of Israel. I don't care if you don't serve the Creator. Your way is falsehood. Every single way outside. We ain't even talking about just religion, quote unquote religion, because we have none as a people. But we're talking about every single thought pattern outside of Yahweh's Torah. Is that broad and wide way that leadeth to destruction. A way that seemeth right unto a man, the scripture says, but leadeth to destruction. And one of the reasons why I'm talking about this, because I saw a post the other day. Now you're going to talk about the person's name. I'm just going to read the brother's post. And the frightening thing about it is when I read the other comments, it's a lot of Israelites feel the exact same way. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, not just Israelites, but people in faith, but that quote-unquote supposed to be believing in the Father, feel this way. And I couldn't believe it when I read all these posts. Then there was a question that one person asked. And they asked, well, did you find the truth? Are you sure you found the truth? And I thought that was a legitimate question. Because we call ourselves Israelites, we still have to ask the question, did you find the truth? A truth according to Yah's word, not according to some priest or some high bishop or some preacher. The truth according to Yahweh's word. And let's not get fooled or think that because we say we are Israelites that we automatically found the truth. Let's not forget that there is a deceiver out here who wants you to be deceived about this word. Think about when Yahushua was talking to his disciples in Matthew 24, and they asked him these questions. And one of the first questions, if you can go in your spare time and read that. Matter of fact, before we get there, before we start into this, right here, I'm going to read that. Matthew 24. And yeah, I'm at Matthew 24. I'm starting at verse 1. And Yahshua went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahushua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. And Yahushua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This is the disciples that walked with Yahushua. Hold up, Yahushua, I'm asking you about when is the end going to come, and give me a sign when the end going to come. How you going to come out the first thing out your mouth? I asked you about being deceived. That's the first thing you said out your mouth to me when I asked you some other question. Is take heed that no man deceive you.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking to Israelites. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to Israelites. Let me finish that. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Mashiach. And he shall deceive many. Many Israelites shall come in Yahushua's name and shall deceive many. He ain't say they're going to come in the other name. He mentioned that later on. He said, and another shall come in his father's name. If you keep reading down, but right here, he said, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Mashiach. So he's talking about Yahushua. Many going to be using that name and going to deceive many. So don't think because you said you're an Israelite that you're not going to be deceived and you hold on to your Messiah. Don't think that you can't be deceived, because that's the first thing he warned his disciples. That was the first thing he warned them about, being deceived. Also, I don't know exactly where this at, but I'll find it. In the scriptures, there was a king who set up false feast days. He set up another day to worship on and set up false feast days for Israel. So, you wonder why a lot of things are screwed up and messed up in the minds of Israel? Because deception started way back when. Way back. And this was way before the Messiah came. I think this is King. Jeroboam, King Jeroboam, set up false days of worship. False feast days. Set up his own priest line. Come on now. So that, so the Israelites won't go up to worship at Jerusalem. Why? Because he didn't want them, Israel, intermingling with Judah. So he set up his own false ways. Now, is there any coincidence that we have so many different denominations today? No. Because deception. Because of deception. And because of people's mindset have not changed, have not conformed to the word of Yahweh. And that's the only way we're going to set ourselves free. Your mind has to conform to the word of Yahweh, to thus saith Yahweh. That's the only way we're going to conform and come out of this darkness that we talked about last week, what the people are in. But I'm going to read this, brother's, and this is an Israelite. I'm going to read his post. And then we're going to talk about it. Why we start off with that scripture, come and learn of me. Being in this truth had made me feel more empty. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an Israelite. And he starts off saying, being in the truth had made him feel more empty. Limited, confined, and restrained, disconnected from everything. I had even less interest in communion with my own people now than ever before. Now, this is in parentheses. Parentheses. Right here. Yeah, that's right. You got it. So, excuse me, my tongue got tied on that one. Which I thought impossible. What he's saying is, I would never thought to myself that I wouldn't even want to be around my own people. That's what he's saying. I find less worth in my own life than ever before. And that right there, when I was reading it, it saddened me so bad when I first started reading. When I was reading this brother post, because I'm guessing that the brother said, I give my life to you. Yes, yeah, I'm sure. I took that baptism. I died for you, so to say. Because that's what the baptism points to, that we're supposed to die. But this brother said he find his life not worth living. And he said he held on or holding on to that tree of life, which is Yahushua. That, I got to calm myself down because when I read it, it's like something just dropped in my soul and my whole soul just dropped to my ankles because I understand the beauty and the wonderfulness in Yahweh and his son and Yahushua. But when to read somebody else quote about the Father in this way of life, you feel empty, you feel worthless. Like, wow, what happened? Did the brother not come and learn of Yahushua? Did he not sit down and learn of the Messiah? Did he not count the cost? Is he fighting himself and not really allowing the spirit of Yahushua to live in him? Let's finish. I found less worth in my own life than ever before, and I long for death more than ever before. But I have been told the truth will set me free. What happened? That's true. The truth will set you free. What happened in his brother's life? And on top of that, it's not just his brother. How many other believers feel like this? How many other believers feel like that? And as I went and read the comments, it's a lot of them that feel the exact same way that this brother said. It's a lot of them feel like, why in the world did I get into this? I was more happier outside of the word or outside of the truth that I do this to my life. And one post on there, it said that a brother has so much hate in him. The sister said that her mother was telling her that he has so much hate in him. And she know he depressed because all he do is stay in his room. All he talks about, this is quotes, is hate the Edomite. First of all, you ain't hating the right Edomite. I mean, because that's not the Edomites you talk about when you talk about the white man, but that's another teaching. We're not going to talk about that tonight. But where in the scripture did the Father tell you to have so much hate for another people? Or did you get that wrong spirit that Brother Paul talks about in Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, I believe. That there's another spirit that you're going to receive, another gospel that you're going to receive, and another Messiah that you are going to receive. When you have so much hate in you towards a people, I don't even understand why you would walk around with the word when Yahushua out of his own mouth says, love your enemies. Own mouth. You can't even say that that's your Messiah because you're not even listening to him. He said, out of your own mouth, love your enemies. You understand? Remember that rest we talked about? And what this brother just said, the truth will set you free. You understand? Let's see what this truth is talking about. This setting free. Don't you know when you are able to forgive people, you are setting yourself free, that you are not holding back? If you ever was in a situation where you got in an argument or ready to get in a fight with anybody in your life, from childhood all the way up to now, and the anger that you felt inside, say y'all wasn't able to go at it. Somebody broke it up. Or y'all got into a serious argument, y'all just walked away. And all that you felt inside you is still there until you say, I forgive you. That's the setting free he's talking about. That's the rest that he's talking about. Your spirit is toiling and it's going through this life working hard. But when you're able to forgive people and truly love people, Yahushua truly loved this world. Not just Israelites. He truly loved this world. Truly even loved his enemies. Now, bro, you're going a little far there with the word. Now, the word don't teach that. I don't know what you're talking about. The word says he only came for the lost sheep of Israel. I don't know where you said he truly loved his enemy. When you can pray to the Father and ask him to forgive them for they know not what they do, he was talking about the ones that said crucify. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. At that time, they were his enemies. Israelites, I mean, in case you want to get technical about Israelites, days with Israelites, he was asking the Father to forgive, for they know not what they do. He set himself free. how much more do you want to give that freedom to us when we're able to freely forgive people? How many of us walking around call each other brothers and sisters, but not truly forgiving one another, not truly loving one another? If something did that a person did to you years ago, brother or sister, that you're still holding on to, that you're still being bound about. Because that sister or that brother, they walking around free in their spirit. They're not being bound. And what's truly being bound is your spirit. Why? Because it can't really grow. You're not allowing it to grow inside you because these things is bounding it together, is holding it together. Which if you receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to grow within you. Because you've got these, as my brother always says, isms and schisms that's holding you back from truly loving everybody you come in contact with. Everybody you come in contact with. Not one soul should not see the love of the Father inside of you. Not one soul. So I ask again, how many people truly learning, coming and learning of me, and to stay on that scripture, because we're going to beat that scripture up tonight. Because we have to truly learn what we are getting ourselves into. And I like the wise man, what we talk about here at Beth Yah, when we talk about a wise man, which was our spiritual leader that passed on, the wisdom that the Father had put upon him. Here at Beth Yahweh, we don't offer you the hand, the fellowship, the first day that you say, oh, yeah, I want to be a member. You just don't get the hand of fellowship like that. It's a six-month trial for you. Because unlike churches that say, stand on up and walk on down. Hey, you're a member of the family now. But don't know nothing about the family. Not one thing. Can you put yourself in something that you ain't ready to get? So here, you got to come and learn of Mashiach first. You got to come and learn first. Because, for one, it protects the flock. Because there are a lot of wolves in sheep clothing who just want to show up. So we got to first and foremost protect the flock. Yahweh say, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And we want to make sure that this is what you want for your life. Want you to put some time in it. And that's why that you go to the Torah every year so people can learn. You know, there was a situation in the book of Acts, and Brother James, which was the head of the church back in the day, and he said, this is my decree. Don't burden the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles, it was arguing with the Gentiles coming in. And they were saying, you got to teach the Gentiles all this, everything in the Torah. And Paul and James was, and Paul and I think Barnabas was saying, oh, no, you don't. James, all right. This is my authority. Because right now, I am the authority right now. Under Yahushua. So, these four things you give to the Gentiles. And if the sis can find that for me, we're going to read that. Or the brother can find that for me, I'll read that. Because I'll ever read it for you, these four things. He told them, don't burden the Gentiles with everything. See, as a believer, when we come in this way of life, we shouldn't try to get in, like I said earlier, and eat the meat of the word. No, you don't come in and eat the meat of the word. You come in and you learn the word. You learn the word first. So James gave a decree. But this is the thing. For many, quote-unquote, church believers, how many of y'all teaches even just these four things? Well, y'all disregard that too. That's Old Testament. No, you're liars. That's New Testament. That's something what you will call the early church. The early church, where James gave a decree in the early church. So how many of y'all out there even doing these four things? And we're going to get these four things in the book of Acts. Moray Shafu El about to read that for us. I think it's Acts 4:20.
What is it?
15?
Yeah, Acts 15:20-21. But that we write unto them that they abstain from
He like me, he needs his glasses too. Yeah, I can. I'm the same way.
Sorry about that.
Get up in age, your eyes start to fail.
Okay, let's start over with that. Acts 15:20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution, from pollution
of idols.
Yes. From pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old times hath in every city them that preach them that preach him being read in the slot
Sabbath. Being read every Sabbath. We get the gist of it. Those four things, polluting of idols, things strangled, blood, and fornication. Those four things right there. So how many new believers or believers in just only the New Testament eating medium rare meat? With meat, with blood just flowing out of it. How many are doing it? How many are fornicating and Saturday night and end up in church Sunday night? And he said, just tell them these four things. Why? Because Moses is being taught in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Repetition, that Torah, you go in the synagogue on Sabbath, that Torah being taught to you every Sabbath. So, you know, when you first come in, you might not know if you're a woman about to kneel. You might not know that I don't belong in church when I'm on my mind. You might not know that. And the Father going to wink at that. He's not even going to be too upset with you. Why? Because if you keep coming, like you got Yahushua said, those who endure to the end, you're going to learn. The more you come, the more you learn what you're not supposed to do. You mean to tell me if I'm a man and I pass seed the night before that I can't come to service the next day? No, you can't come to service. Well, I ain't know that. I've been coming to service all along after I got busy. Now you learn. So you know not to come. You know not to come. Each Sabbath, you will learn something new, the do's and the don'ts. and the freedoms of the word, because there are a lot of freedoms in the word. So Yahushua said, come and learn of me. Is he talking about just in the New Testament? No, he's not just talking about the New Testament. He is the Torah. He is the walking, living Torah. Come and learn of me. Peter told us that he left us an example on how to live. So he tells us, come and learn of me. But how many brothers and sisters are jumping in and strongholding of one scripture or one doctrine and not learning of Yahushua? Thinking when he says a woman shouldn't wear the things of a man pertaining to a man, he's talking about praying. He's not talking about praying. I had a big discussion with a brother. I read that today where somebody said, women, that scripture is talking about pants. Well, to the person, newsflash, it wasn't even pants back then when that scripture was written. Man and female was wearing long tunics. So find out what it's talking about. Learn of me. Understand, Israel. Understand yourself first. And that's a good quote with my man Yoda on the front. And he said, you must unlearn all you know. How true is that? God's man told us. He told us this too. He said, you got to jump everything you heard when you first come to the word. You got to take everything you have ever heard about the word or God or the Bible, and you got to throw it out your mind, and you got to start fresh with a clean slate. If you ever want to learn the true, unadulterated word of Yah, you got to clean all that out your mind. Let's get back into this brother rant, as he called it. I think he said rant, or we'll find out at the end what he said. Where was I at? But I've been told the truth will set me free. He got an emoji there with an upside down with a smiley face. Then when I point out that it hasn't. Listen to what he said. Somebody told him that the truth will set him free. He's saying that he is in the truth, and he's saying it has not set me free. Like the person asked the question, did he find the truth? Or did he come into the truth with already preconceived ideas of what it was? Let's finish. I get you got a spirit on you. This is what he's saying. I get. You got a spirit on you, Ak. That's what people are telling him. And some of they are true. They are right. Because Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are blinded by the God of this world. So that is true in some cases. Truth be told, we all have unclean spirits connected to us, and they will jump on us at a drop of a dime. See, we can't deny that part. And once we start denying that part, we have got. Really, he says, since birth, okay, well, wasn't this truth supposed to free me from that? That's a good question. Wasn't the truth supposed to free me from these unclean spirits? True. It's supposed to. In actuality, it would do that. Not speaking from my words, I'm going to speak from Messiah's words. He said this, he gave a parable. He said, the demons left, the house was clean and garnished. They came back, and the house was empty. So he said the demon went and got seven more, worse than him, seven more demons, worse than him. So what happened to the brother or sister who got their house clean? They didn't fill it back up. They did not replace. When they cleaned the unclean spirits out, that one that was holding them, because it said the one, he came back. That means he was a resident there at first. But you kicked him out. He comes back. He got, oh, Lord, my house is back. It's back empty. Then he going to get seven more of my homeboys. They worse than me. And we're going to go back and we're going to condemn this house even more. The house is your mind. The house is this where you're supposed to replace it with the word of Yah. You got how to replace things. It's like a knowledge that's going on in your mind. Say that I'm going to use myself. At one time, I thought that Hanukkah was, the story of Hanukkah was that Yah, he gave the Israelites a miracle where they was trapped inside the temple and they only had enough oil for 3 days, I guess. That's how the story goes. But Yah made a miracle and they had oil to last for 8 days. You know, and I ran with that. I was with that for a good little while. Until one day we were sitting here in the Bible, one of the Marais, he read the story in the book of Maccabees. Like, wow, that's not it no more. That's not the true story. So at that time, I had to take that knowledge out and replace it with the truth. But how many of us are doing that? How many are taking out that knowledge that we know already and replacing it with the truth? And not just replace it, you keep building on the truth. You build on it. And that way your faith gets stronger and stronger in that. I'm guessing our brother not doing that, if he's feeling the way he's feeling. But let's get back into it. Well, wasn't the truth, this truth supposed to free me from that? Wasn't it supposed to improve life? Wasn't it supposed to guide me? Wasn't it supposed to show me the way? All valid questions. Yes, it's supposed to do all that. It will do all that if you submit to it. Instead, it makes each breath a greater struggle than before. And once that breath has been taken, I regret it. Endure to the end. This is him. He's saying he's given. Excuse me. I'm going to read it again. He says, endure to the end. Okay, I know that. I know. But why? He's asking a question now. But why? For what? A kingdom? I do not care for a kingdom. I do not care to rule over other captive nations. Anybody hear something in that right there? I do not care to rule over other captive nations. What do you mean by that? What doctrine is he getting this from? Where is his teaching coming from now? Is he being taught hate? Is he being taught, because I know some of our brothers out there teaching that, yeah, we're going to rule over them. And, yep, that's true. But we're going to rule over them at that time to hope that they will hold on and take on salvation, not to rule over them. Yeah, we got it now. We the bad ones now. We in charge now. Go fetch and get this for me. It's not like that. That's not why we'll be ruling over them. We'll be teaching them that Torah and hope that they'll want to hold on to that. They'll want to get eternal life. But is this brother being taught hate? That's why he's feeling that? Because he don't know which way to go? Do I listen to the hate or do I listen to the word? Because he says to them, for what? A kingdom? I don't want to rule over nations. Let's get back into it. No, he says, I do not care for a kingdom. I do not care to rule over other captive nations. What is he being taught? I do not care for any of it. I try to do as I act, because it has been asked of me by the Most High. I see no benefit or gift in it.
What?
You see no benefit in doing the will of Yahweh or gift in it? First of all, Scripture says salvation is a gift. So if you don't believe, you're not believing in what you've been to, you don't even believe that you have salvation. That's another story, though. How many believers out here truly believe that they have salvation? I believe Brother Yaakov pointed that out last night about how many people truly believers, that they have salvation, that there is a coming kingdom. How many Israelites truly believe that? Or are they going through the motions? Or are they a part of something just to be a part of something? Because you don't believe that there's a benefit or gift. The benefit is eternal life. The gift is salvation. First and foremost, the old question that our spiritual leader today has been asking for the last several years, do you believe? He has been putting that in our heads for the last 5 or 6 years. What Yah has been giving him, he's been giving it to people. Yah has been telling him, ask the people over and over, do you believe? It's not a time that this brother teach. He don't ask that question 3 or 4 times. Do you believe? How many of us believe and that we have eternal life in the Father? How many of us truly believe that? How many of us are willing to lay our lives down on that statement alone? I truly believe that I have salvation through the Father, through His Son. I truly believe that. Are we reading the words of a brother who truly don't believe it or do not believe that? And as I read the text in the comments that was on his post, how many of them truly believe that they have salvation? Because you cannot doubt and have salvation at the same time. You cannot do it. Because one going to counsel the other out. Now, you can waver on faith till you get strong in that area. You can do that. But you can't doubt that you have salvation and have it at the same time. Because the other going to counsel the other out. You can't do it. Now, we are coming upon a time that something is about to happen in this world. So you understand, as a believer, as a person who is sitting under somebody who is sent by the Most High, why the Most High is putting in this brother's heart to keep asking, do you believe? Do you believe? Because what the Most High has for us, it's going to take faith, unwavering faith. You cannot doubt and do the will of Yahweh. You cannot do it. You think your life is hard now. Wait till things really kick off. Wait till it really kick off. So do you believe in what you're reading and what you're studying? Are you coming to learn of Yahushua's life? And in case you don't know what Yahushua's life is, when he told Moses, go down and set the children of Israelites free. And when Moses was talking to what the scripture says, Yahweh, with an angel in the burning bush, that was Yahushua. When he talked to all the brothers and the sisters, even Deborah, when he gave Deborah a commission and the word to go tell the brothers, that's the life of Yahushua. Are you learning of Yahushua? Because the key is come and learn of me. Come and learn of me. Part of me. This is my body. Eat this bread. This is my body. Take this wine. This is my blood. Drink of it. Eat of it. Daily. Constantly. We understand the bread points to the word. The wine points to the Holy Spirit. Romans 7:14, let us know these things. He says, we know that the law is spiritual. Let us get back into it. But do you believe? And I'm talking to all believers. Because this brother is not the only brother that feel that way. You may sit next to somebody and they feel like that. You may see a person every Shabbat and they feel like that. And they may never told you. Or you don't see it. But the Father knows. But he or she or whoever you are, start believing, start practicing, start learning of the Messiah. Okay. Let's get back. I see no benefit or gift in it. I serve because I was asked to by the Most High. And even in this, I am a failure. Hold on. Keep your head up. Huh? These are things that people are saying to him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray for you, Ak. This is his reply. Blah, blah, blah. Save your prayers. I wonder why I am even trying. Said thing is, where I to turn to the ways of the most of this world, he having parentheses again, which I will not do. I know the devil would hear me. Huh? He said, if I would turn to this world, I know the devil would hit me. Let's keep reading, because he's saying something here to us. And that is a very sad thing to think, / realize, as you struggle just to wake each day hoping to find favor in the eyes of the Most High and still ignored and forgotten. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty of what this brother's feeling. Why he's feeling the way he feels. He feels ignored by the Most High. He feels like the Most High has forgotten him. But the word will tell you, has told me, and read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What are you doing to separate that relationship or sever the Most High from you? What are you doing? And to me, this brother is actually crying out. He's crying out to the Most High. He may not just know how to word it in those words, but he's crying out. He wants the Most High to hear. How many of us feel like that? I know a brother, one of my brothers, that he was going through that this year and last year. Matter of fact, we're in a new year now, family. So last year, hallelujah, for the new year. Hallelujah. He was feeling like, Abba is not talking to him. It really made the brother trust. He was really depressed about that because he like, man, I don't hear the Father. What am I doing wrong that the Father is not talking to me on him because he's a Malay? You know, when he would go to teach, he would say that he's not getting nothing. And that burdened the brother for a while. Until the brother sat down with wise counsel, which is our spiritual leader, and listened to the Most High, listened to the Father. Now the brother don't understand that it wasn't that the Father wasn't speaking to him. It just he was wavering in faith. That's what it was. He was wavering in faith. Because the Father will always speak to you if you belong to him. Even if you don't belong to him, he is still trying to get your attention one way or another. Turn around, daughter. Turn around. Now the brother will tell you, look, I don't need to sit here and write down a 12-page sermon. I don't have to do that. I can just open up the book and listen to the Father, and he will take me wherever I need to go in his word. The brother learned to get out of the way and allow the Father Spirit to work in him. He learned that. You'll hear the brother on Blog Talk Radio speaking with the fire, and you would never knew that the brother would be there. You would have never known it. That was the brother went through. And I would say all the brothers go through that. That's nothing new to nobody. Especially if you are a Moray of the Father. Contrary to popular belief, you don't just jump up in line and say, hey, I want to be teacher. You don't do that. For the most part, you're running from that. I don't know what you're thinking or what you've been taught. You're running from that. That's not something you just jump in line and be jumping up and down with your hand up. You know how you had me to jump up? No. And that's a doubt that all of us will go through, or a faith waiver that we will go through time and time for time. That is the Father really speaking to me? And all of us do that. So, if I had a chance to talk to you about what I'm talking about, hey, brother, sit down. Be quiet. Maybe it's not for you to do or teach the word of Yahweh. Maybe it's for you just to listen. And once you can get yourself out of the way, because that's the hold up on a lot of us, we can't get rid of ourselves. Let's get back to the brother thoughts. And make no mistake, I am grateful and give thanks several times a day for what blessings I do. For what blessings I do have in this life. They merely do not change what my life is. Oh, well, I'm just venting. That's what the brother's saying. He's just vain. Also said that the blessings that he do have don't change his life. And I'll say to the brother, sit down and just listen for the Father. Get yourself out of the way. For all those who are doubting, for all those who feel this way, the way this brother feels, get out of the way. Understand that we are as a people, we are mentally challenged, first and foremost. And don't let nobody tell you we are not. We are. There's something wrong with us as a people. And Yahweh meant it that way. He sent us through the halls of slavery so he can break this people down, so he can bring us again, like he said when he brought us out of Egypt, up and out. He had to elevate their minds then. He's going to have to elevate our minds again today. Because we have to come up and out of the situations that we're in. And there is a way that we come up and out. There is a way. I'm going to go to Luke 4. Luke 4, 16, familiar scripture. Yahushua said he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we come up out of the situation that we're in. We hold on to him, and we learn of him. You want to come out of this situation? Learn of Yahushua. Get to understand the story of Joshua, which they changed his name. It should be Yahushua. Get to understanding the spiritual implements of what Moshe pointed to, what he meant, what he pointed to when he went down and got the children of Israel out of bondage, out of that world system, what we call Mitzrayim, Egypt. What part of the Messiah role did he play in? What lesson did you give us out of Moshe's life, Father? How can I learn of the Mashiach through Moshe's life? Well, Moshe went and freed the people out of bondage. Spiritually speaking, Yahushua came and freed the people out of bondage, which is sin. We are bond to sin. Yahushua came and freed us out of that. That's what Moshe pointed to. Spiritually speaking, he went down, got the children of Israel out of sin. Who was their successor? Joshua. Took the people across the river into the promised land. When Yahushua's second coming, what are you going to do? You're going to cross us over the river. We know and understand when you go back in ancient times, that river represented life. So one life to a new life, to the life of promise, salvation. Come and learn of Yahushua. Let's learn these things before we're ready to go out there and charge and battle people and tear people down with the word. Sit down and learn of Yahushua first. Be that child. Eat, drink the milk of the word. And when you're ready, and when y'all know you're ready, he's going to give you the strong things. He's going to give it to you. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he was brought, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You know, I got to bring this out. I just can't read this scripture and not say nothing about it. But to all those who run it in there, who say they follow Messiah, and then that's to my counterpart, you know, I still beat them up. You know, I still try to enlighten them to the word. I would say that. If it's his custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and I say that I'm quote unquote Christ-like, I would be questioning the minister why that's not my custom. Why his customs are not my customs. What did he do to say he was the only sinless man? What did he do to make his life so perfect? He kept his law, his father's law perfect. Why am I not doing it? Why are we not doing it? I mean, I would have to ask questions. These questions I would ask. Those are the questions I ask. I ask those questions. Oh, man, I'm not living Christ-like. Quote, unquote, Christ-like, Messiah-like. I'm not living like that. I'm living like somebody else. Like the popes are living. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I will always tell. Every Christian is a Catholic, but not every Catholic is a Christian. And you want to know how I can say that? Because the Bible says you are a servant to whom you show yourself self-servant to. Every doctrine that a Christian follows comes from the Catholic Church. So every Christian is a Catholic. You want to be a follower of Yahushua? Nine of them. 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Elijah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Okay.
Isaiah, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. The book of Isaiah, excuse me, family. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to them, to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This brother asked all these questions right here. Is he not connected with Yahushua? Because this is why the Father sent him. That's why he sent him. He sent him for that very reason. But we're going to go and read where it comes from. Isaiah 61. We're going to read it. Because this is just a quote right there, which, whew, a lot of people don't know that most of the scriptures in the new, quote unquote, New Testament are quotes from that are not, or what they will call the Old Testament, which they will say is done away with. Excuse me, friend. But he comes to set us free, to break what's holding us. And we start at verse 1. Spirit of Yahweh, Elohim, is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Are we learning this of Yahushua? Are we allowing him to set us free? Now, that's our choice. We can choose to stay in bondage, or we can choose to be set free. Do you believe? To proclaim the acceptable year, verse 2, we're going to 3 in this, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of Almighty One, to comfort all that mourn. If you're not being comforted, you're not having the right relationship with the Father. I would say fix your relationship with the Father, because his word said, all those that mourn, he's going to give comfort to. I believe that. Will it happen right off the bat? No. With old adages, practice makes perfect. So faith is not something you get all of a sudden. Faith is something that you practice. You have to practice faith. And the more you practice something, the more it becomes a part of you. To appoint unto them that mount, that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Did y'all understand that? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. This is what the Father had for you. I just want to look up that word beauty for 1 second. 1 second. And it's in your Hebrew quotient, 6:2-8:7, an embellishment, i.e., fancy headdress, beauty, bonnet, goodly ornament. Come on now, a fancy headdress. That's what the Father, don't put ashes on your head. I'm going to give you a fancy headdress. What he told Moshe to make for the sons of Levi? A head bonnet, something to cover their head. and understanding that covering is Yahushua. He's that fancy headdress that we have. That fancy headdress. A covering for us. Not ashes. Don't go around with ashes on you. No, that, don't do that. Let me give you a fancy headdress. A covering for your head. Full of joy, for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on now. You know what they say? When you're heavy, start praising. That's where it is. Start praising. It's a garment. A garment of praise. That means that you're putting that praise all around you. When you're heavy and you're burdened, you wrapping yourself in this praise. David said, I have become a fool in praising the Father. That's what he's talking about. He didn't care how he looked. His wife said, look, you out there dancing, your clothes come up. You look like a fool. So what, woman? I'm doing it for my Father. It has nothing to do with you or for you. I'm doing it for my Father. I can care less what people think about me. But when I'm praising like that, I put that garment around me, which is praise. I could care less what anybody else thinks. Why? Because I'm heavy right now, and it's going to remove that heaviness off me. That's word, people. That's word. That they might be called trees of righteousness. Okay, that might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Yahweh planted these trees. These righteous trees that Yahweh planted. Let's look up what this word tree is. Is in the Hebrew 3:5:2. A yield. From the same as 193, properly strength. I'm going to stop right there. You ain't got to go no further. Strength. Righteousness. Strength. Yahweh going to give you that strength. What is it that Yahweh planted? Why he planted these trees, these men, these women for strength? So he can get the glory. See, we too busy trying to get the glory for ourselves. We too busy trying to say, I did this. I did that. And we want to plant ourselves. Brother Yahweh, I was asking that very question. Who was sent? Who was preaching for the Most High? Those that he planted. A lot of people planting themselves. That's why they're not preaching righteousness. They're preaching foolishness because Yahweh did not plant them. He did not call them. He did not send them out. They called themselves. They sent themselves out. Yahweh, if you want to be strong, you want to be righteousness in this world system, that's going to come against you wholeheartedly, you have to be planted by Yahweh. So if ands or buts about it, that's word. That's not my word. That's what we are reading. We're learning Yahushua. He said, come learn of me. Whenever we are reading the word of Yahweh, we are reading Yahushua because he is the Torah. We are learning of him. I'm going to stop right there tonight, fam. Just wanted to give a thought. Just wanted to help a brother or sister who was feeling like this, who was feeling burdened with the word of Yahweh, who was feeling like, why I even put my hand to this? I wish I never did that. My life is so messed up now that I'm a believer. Are you really a believer? Or are you just saying you're a believer? Has Yahweh put his righteousness upon you, or you put your own righteousness? And to that family, I'm going to say until next time, shalom.
Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah.
Give your name the highest praise today.